We heard the song Spanky and Our Gang.
Spanky and Our Gang.
Okay.
Good biblical group.
But I'd Like to Get to Know You. That was the song we heard for our prelude this morning. And I just to tell you a little bit about my experience of getting to know who the Lord was. I remember when I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s, and I heard about people having personal relationships with the Lord. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I wanted it. And so I remember thinking simply, well, I'll just ask. And I found out how to do it. Do you want to know how to develop a personal relationship with him? Well, you ask, first of all, and then you have his story available to you to read. And so I learned that, just like any book, if you find a good book that actually is by an author that you admire, that you enjoy, one of the greatest treasures when you find a book like that is to explore the footnotes, because the footnotes are things that that author has read and studied and learned about. So you learn about the author himself, and you learn about the things in the book. Well, that's what happened, I think, to Paul. He already knew the book, but he met the risen Lord. I mean, he was actually had an experience with him. And I think that that's what we're reading about here. We're reading about someone who actually had that experience. And to quote one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, once you know the love of Jesus, nothing else will seem as beautiful to you again. And that's just a beautiful, lovely thought. And this is what we're reading. The scripture for today is from Philippians 3, 7 through 15. And I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Paul says, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or I'm already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. May God bless that reading of his word.
Not a bad teacher. You ought to consider taking that up for a profession. On the back of your devotional, we're at the step three of knowing him. You know, sometimes I feel like I want to reach out and take Christians and shake them by the shoulder. Because I've come to a conclusion that a lot of Christians compartmentalize their life. You know what I mean by that? Okay, we're here in church today, so we think biblically. Now, tomorrow we're going to be in the world, and things that happen to us, well, we think differently about that. We go to a different source. Now, I want to read you a short excerpt about someone who had a particular source. And the question that we're dealing with today is, what is your source? Because I'm convinced of something. I'm fully persuaded, like Paul says, that knowing him, and yes, Spanky and Our Gang saying that I'd like to get to know you, that knowing him, if it doesn't have a practical and a positive effect on our lives, then we have to look at our faith askance, I think. We have to say, well, what's the point? Yes, it has an eternal value, but what about tomorrow? What about the practicality and the positiveness of it? And that's where I want to shake some Christians by the shoulders in a waking up kind of loving way. Because I think, for a large part, I think Christians miss what Jesus said he's going to give us. Peace that the world can't give. Peace that exceeds our understanding. Peace that dispels fear and anxiety and worry. What would that be like? And can it be a reality? I think it depends on your source. Listen to someone who had a different source. This is the bird from Unbroken. Who was the bird? He was a Japanese prison guard guarding our men and our POWs. And he gave them unbelievably inhumane torture and treatment. Has something derailed you in life? None of us escape, right? None of us escape the ambiguities, and none of us escape what God said in Genesis chapter 3. Your worship is going to be tainted, your relationships are going to be tainted, and your stewardship is going to be tainted. And that taintedness bleeds into my life every day. But I think that what I've discovered, and Teresa said the other night, we were sitting on the porch swing, she said, you know what I really don't like about God? And I said, what's that? She goes, when he wants to teach us a truth, he puts you through it. You ever have that experience? It's nice to keep it in theory. I want to keep everything in theory, don't you? But God has a way, and this is what he did to me. He puts me through the thing that he wants to get across. There's been things in my life that could have derailed me. You too. And I think the difference between getting derailed and not getting derailed is your source. The bird. By all accounts, this was the moment that derailed him. Something happened to him. Unpleasant. Leaving him feeling disgraced, infuriated, and bitter. Those who knew him would say that every part of his mind gathered around this occurrence. Do you ever have that happen? Do you ever have an occurrence in your life hold a tyranny over you? Where your thoughts, you can't get away from it? That's what happened to the bird. His mind gathered around this occurrence, and every subsequent action was informed by it. This defining event would have tragic consequences for hundreds of men. Here it is. We talked in our Bible study this morning. What kind of consequence do our lives have on people? Think about that. I'm thinking about myself during the week and the people I come in contact with, and I'm thinking, what kind of consequence do I have on people? That is a sobering thought, isn't it? That we have, our lives have consequences in other people's lives. I told Katie this morning, I encourage her to teach her class. I said, you're affecting lives. And I think we forget that. And if our minds are gathered around or we're derailed as God's people, we have a consequence on lives, and it's not a good one. Look, this is where the enemy's going to come at you. This is where he comes at me. He wants my mind to gather around something. And he wants everything that I do to be informed by it. Well, it depends on your source. You've heard, you know, you watch TV and they say, sources say, and then they say what the source says, or an unidentified source reports, or sources close to the president report the following. Well, what's your source? And you know, you got to watch your source, don't you? Because every source has an agenda. Every source has a point of view and an agenda, trying to get you to do something, trying to get you to think a particular way. Well, we're in a political season right now. The election's a month away. And the sources from both candidates are trying to give you their agenda and try and get you to think from their point of view, right? That's how you're going to vote for them or not vote for them. So it's important to check out your source. Very, very important to know the source. And I'll tell you why that's important. Because in a very real way, the source that you buy into captivates you, doesn't it? You start to do that source's bidding. You are manipulated by the source. You serve the source that you buy into. Where do your thoughts and attitudes come from? The source that you ascribe to. And that source, whatever the source is that you're running your life on, like the bird, it informs, now listen to this, it informs your thoughts and then your attitudes. It informs your values, your goals, your commitments. This is so important. And mostly, I think the most important thing that the source that you ascribe to, like the political arena, you form a conclusion, don't you? You form a conclusion based on the source and the point of view of the source that you buy into and the agenda of the source you buy into. Then you, what they want you to do, they want you to form a conclusion based on their point of view, and then you're going to act. You're going to go into the voting booth and you're going to act based on the conclusion you've drawn from that source. Actually, the source that we have is how we carry life. And how you carry life depends upon the point of view of your source. So what's your source? We saw the bird's source. The bird's source was the world's source. The world says something happens to you, retaliate. The world says, get everything that you deserve. Get your rights. That's what the bird did. What if you had another source on from which to carry your life and to have your conclusions drawn from? And we look at Paul. And we look at his writing here in Philippians. And I want you to see the opening statement there that Paul makes in verse 7. Before he says this, he gives the source that he had drawn into. And then he changed. And here he's making the statement. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of somebody. What happened? Paul changed his source. Now, I know things have happened to you. And I know you look at things as a gain or a loss in your life. We all do. And none of us would disagree. Like Paul said in Galatians, Paul started out early in his writing. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel that I present to you is not based on a human point of view. Why? Because I didn't receive it from a human source. Okay, that's fine. None of us would disagree with that in your life right now. Here's what the compartmentalization coming. No one in here is going to disagree that what you read in Scripture is not from a human point of view because it didn't come from a human source. We have 100% agreement on that. How about this? Can you extrapolate and morph that into other things besides the gospel? Read it this way. But I want you to know, brothers, that my thoughts and my attitudes and my values and my goals and my commitments and the things that I fear and the things that I worry about and my anxiety and my conclusions and finally my actions are not based on a human point of view. Can you say that? Can I say that? The only way I can say that, and that you can say it, is if I follow it up by saying, because I did not receive it from a human source. There's the second step for us. See this? There's the leap. To take our lives and not compartmentalize them. Not to just say, well, I know that the gospel didn't come from a human point of view because it didn't come from a human source, but can we take the next step and say, my conclusion about the circumstances in my life, my conclusions are not based on a human point of view. Wow, that's hard. Why is it not based on a human point of view? Because I didn't get it from a human source. That's what happened to Paul. This is a challenge for me. Maybe you too. I struggle with this. Because when something happens in my life, a fear or a worry about anything, name it, I immediately, I'm ashamed of this. I go to a human point of view. Because I get it from a human source. The missing link is knowing your source. Who do you trust? Can't do both. You can't have two sources. I know you try to. I try to. You know, I always think that if I do it, it's normal. You ever think that way? That if you do it, certainly it's normal. That was a joke, but you can't have two sources. I know you try to. My source for Bible study and my source for church attendance is going to be God. Well, now, it's Monday morning, and so my source for how I'm going to deal with this stress that has come into my life is going to be a human point of view. But because, after all, Tim, I know how the world works. Don't give me any of these highfalutin spiritual ideals. Well, fair enough in a sense. But what if we had a source that said to us, like Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two sources. That's stressful. You know why it's stressful? You try to be two people. What if you were the same person all the time? And you dealt with situations in your life the same way, and you always went back to the same source, because Jesus said the reason you can't serve two masters, love of one feeds contempt for the other one. Well, it does, doesn't it? Love of one source feeds contempt for the other source. Think of the presidential election. Whatever source you buy into, they're trying to feed contempt, aren't they? They're trying to get you to have contempt for the other source. It's not just that you won't agree with the other source. Jesus said, love of one feeds contempt for the other. And there's the battle line. There's the line in the sand for us. And there's where we get into trouble. And Paul said that too in Galatians. I know we're supposed to be talking about Philippians. I'll get there. He said in Galatians, you know, I did that. I did that human source thing. And he said, you know about my former way of life when I bought into a human source and a human point of view. What happened? I had contempt for the other. I tried to destroy God's church, and I persecuted it to an extreme degree. If you buy into the world source in an insidious, subtle, oblique way, you are going to destroy and persecute God's church. We talked about Christians this morning that aren't salty, who have bought into another source, and Jesus said the only thing those people is good for is to be thrown out on the ground. The salt that's lost its saltiness, he throws it on the ground. And you know why? You know why? Because it makes the ground hard. That's what they used it for. Impure salt they threw on their roads and on their rooftops to harden it. Do you see a connection there with impure Christianity? What it does to the world? because you bought into another source? No, Paul says, everything that was a gain to me. Now, the next words are important, and here's where I think a lot of Christians just don't do it. I have considered. We have to step back and consider. When you hear something on the news, step back and consider. Be careful about your source. Don't base your theology on sound bites and evangelical jargon that the people who say it don't even understand what it means. And don't base your worldview, your political view, on sound bites. Step back and consider. Boy, we need some more considering as God's people. The church has bought into so many things that the world foists upon us as being normal that we don't even consider anymore if we should think that way, if that is the right attitude. Paul takes time to consider, and when he does, the things that he used to look at as a gain, in other words, what the world says is gainful for you, because he knows Christ and he's changed his source, he now looks at those things and he says, I look at those things at a loss. Wow, have I had a change? Why, Paul? What did you do? I got to know him. And I changed my source. Because of Christ. And then he goes farther. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss. But the only way, read carefully, the only way everything is considered to be a loss by Paul is, look, circle, in view of. You know, that's what's happened. That's what happens to me. I lose my view. And what's the view? The surpassing value of knowing. Do you ever lose that view? And then your view changes. Instead of looking at the surpassing value of knowing him, that's the source I want to stay plugged in. Something happens, like happened to the bird. I get derailed, and my view shifts. And I'm going to a human source. And when I do that, like Paul, I'm persecuting and destroying. It's the enemy's tool. Well, he's good at it too. He's good at it in my life. I had a patient in the other day, and the Holy Spirit caught me up short here. She was telling me that her father's dying. And on that particular day, at that particular time, my view was not on the surpassing value of knowing him. My view was on a human source. And the Holy Spirit said to me, when she was about done with this story, would you look at what you're thinking of right now? This woman needs help. And she's telling you something that is really a burden on her heart. And you, Tim, are getting your thoughts and your attitudes from a human point of view. The Holy Spirit pulled me out of that, and I recovered, and I was able to speak to her and minister her. What's the strongest thing you can say to a person who's suffering like that? What did Jesus say to say? When you go, proclaim. I just said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reaction of people when you say that is powerful. Because of the surpassing value of knowing, I want you to also know a nuance, not just Jesus Christ, but knowing what is Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ did he know? He was his Lord. Do you see that? Everything is a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as his Lord. Yeah, we want to get to know him. But we need to know him as Lord. Paul says that in the first chapter of Romans. You want to worship the God that you made. Paul says. We want to worship the Jesus Christ that we make. Paul says, you did that instead of worshiping the God that made you. Surpassing value of knowing him as Lord. Paul's conclusions have changed, haven't they? His conclusion about what happened to him and what he did, which was horrible, changed because his source changed. Now, I know that this week you're going to struggle with things. And you're either going to have a victorious thought, attitude, conclusion, and action because you go to the source that says, you know, God is sovereign. That's the source. God's sovereign, and I know him, and I know Jesus as my Lord, and I know he is so for me. Isn't that comforting? If you know him as your Lord, and you can take any situation in your life, and you can say, I know he's so for me. And he's sovereign. Or you can take the other source that the world says, you got a real problem on your hands, and you better scramble to get a human point of view right quick to fix this thing. The minute you do that, and Paul says that too, he says, as long as I received my information from a human point of view, revelation from God was blocked. That's the only thing that pulled Paul out of it, by the way. A dramatic revelation, you know about that. But up to that point, his source blocked the revelation that God wanted to give him. Me too. Because of him and knowing him as my Lord, I have suffered the loss of all things. What does that mean? Well, read that aloud. That's what that means. When it says suffered, I will suffer you to do something, it means I allow you to do something. So Paul says, because of him, I've allowed the loss of all things. Well, what kind of a relationship would that be? Where you're in such an intimate, immediate, and direct relationship with Jesus as your Lord that you allow the loss of all things. And not only that, he considers them filth. There's that considering again. How much considering do you do? 15 minutes of quiet time alone in a room every day. Sandy and I were talking about spiritual disciplines. It's not optional. That's when we consider. That's when your source changes. And he's considered them filth, and then I want you to see circle, so that I may gain Christ. It looks like if we don't have that attitude of allowing the loss of all things and considering them filth connected to and next to knowing him, unless we get to that mindset, it looks like we can't gain Christ. That's exactly right, because your source blocks the revelation. And you need to let go of those things, Paul says. You need to let go of that. And then when you do, you'll be open to revelation and you will gain the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that comes through faith, the righteousness from God. Verse 10. My goal, my values, my goals, and my commitment now has changed. This is about the point in the message where I want to shake you by the shoulders, okay? Because we need to carry life differently. And if we're not carrying life differently, what does that say to the world? You struggle just like me. Why would I want Jesus Christ as my Lord when you carry life just like me? Verse 10, my goal is to know him. And then he tells how he gets to know him. Look at this. Watch this. Brock asked me this last night. What's it mean, he says, the fellowship of his sufferings. How do we get to know him? Well, the good and the bad. He says, I want to know him, and that knowing entails two things. The power of his resurrection, we all want that. That's the good news. And, well, I wish this next one wasn't there. How we get to know him? And the fellowship of his sufferings. A fellowship of suffering. What binds people together even stronger than the good times? What does it mean? Why would Paul want to share in the fellowship of his suffering? You ever gone through a tragedy with somebody? You both experienced a very tragic, personal, suffering, loss. What does that do to your relationship? What's that do? We know people through good times. We know people even better when we suffer with them, don't we? Teresa and I together suffered a tremendous loss. And we shared in the fellowship of that suffering. We still do. Do you know what that has done to our relationship? This is very personal. I know that. See, I have such respect for her. It binds you, doesn't it? Cements the relationship. And we read in Scripture all the way through that Jesus says, don't run from suffering, embrace it. He said, follow me and I'll show you how. Why? Because that's the knowing process of anybody. I know Teresa better than before that. I'm sorry to be a personal one. And then he says, through this, something happens to me. I'm conformed to him. Do you see that? I share in the power of his resurrection. I share in the good times and the hope that is held out for me. That's great. But I want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings because that's how I get to know him. Just like human relationships. And when that happens and you suffer with somebody, you conform. You get on the same page, don't you? You join forces. You need each other. And the only reason, verse 11, the only reason Paul can do that and say that is because his assumption has changed. His conclusion has changed about that which could have derailed him and that which could have derailed us. Our assumption changed. Our source changed. And Paul says, I can do this only based on one thing, because I'm assuming that somehow I'll reach the resurrection from among the dead. I have bought completely into that source. Not that I've already reached the goal or am already fully mature. And by the way, that will be an eternal process. Yeah, if you think you're going to get to heaven and God's going to, and by the way, that's bad theology. Heaven's coming here. When you think that the consummated kingdom is going to be on earth, Revelation 21, New Jerusalem comes from heaven to earth, another topic. If you think that's going to happen and God's going to wave a wand over you and you are going to be fully mature and you've reached a goal, no, because there's a hint in Revelation of a future project where we will spend all eternity reaching that goal. What's the goal? Christ-likeness. That's a wonderful concept. Isn't it great to, you know how it is to be growing intellectually and growing spiritually. Isn't that exhilarating? Versus stagnation. Heaven, Now there I go again. The consummated kingdom is not going to be stagnation. It's going to be eternal development and growth, and we will share with each other, one another, the facet of God that we get that they don't get. I told Teresa, would you be interested in this? I think I'm going to preach on the heavenly realm and the consummated kingdom and what that would be like. I'm not fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it. Why? Why would you make every effort to take hold of that new source? Here's where you circle. Because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. You see, having this goal is not an initiative. I want you to get, if you forget everything else I said today, remember this. Having that goal is not an initiative that we have. It is a result of. Do you see that? Paul says that. The reason this is my goal is because when I went to Arabia and ransacked the scriptures to try and figure out that road to Damascus experience, when I did that, Jesus took hold of me. And when he took hold of me, it captivated me, and I became a servant of it, and I could do nothing else. I'm a prisoner of it. That's what he's saying. I'm a prisoner of it. And the reason that that is my goal now is because he took hold of me. How much time do you spend in Arabia ransacking the scripture? Spiritual discipline, Sandy. And if you do that, what you'll find is you won't be initiating anything. You'll be responding. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. One thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget that source. I'm going to leave that worldly, human point of view source behind. I'm going to leave behind the things that I thought of as a gain. One thing I do, I forget what is behind, and I'm going to reach forward for that new source. Reaching for what is ahead, and I'm going to pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. Forgetting that source and reaching for that source. Why? Because your conclusion about what's going on in your life has changed. Because you have a new source. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.